know, I do a lot of manual texting and a lot of, but they're like pretty personalized, and I almost never say, hey, you know, I usually do not even mention the house in the first message. It's usually, you know, there's holidays in almost every month. You know, hey, happy 4th of July, hope you and your family are doing well. And then when they respond back, and then I open up a door of communication. If you ask about the house and they're not ready to talk about the house, they usually will ignore you.
What's up, y'all? You're listening to the Carrot Cast podcast, the podcast with a funny name, but a big mission. We help thousands of real estate investors and agents grow rock solid mindsets, do better marketing so that you can build a business of freedom and impact. I'm your host, Trevor Mock. Let's dive into today's episode. What's up, y'all? We're coming at you with another one of our content series here at Carrot. And I don't know what to call them yet, but maybe we'll call it Carrot University or Carrot something else. Either way, guys, it's going to be an entire series on follow-up. And if you guys haven't checked out our series on negotiation or our series on SEO or PPC marketing and those other types of topics, go to our website, carrot.com, check out our blog, or go to the resources section, carrot.com/resources, and access the other series and resources as attached to it. So with this series, we've got a few different parts. We're going to be going all the way through how do you think about follow-up on the first part of it. We've got amazing guests, Mr. Keith Sant and Mark Scowron. Both of them are returners to the podcast and to our content here, and really pumped to dive in on the follow-up side of things. And then we have other amazing experts on the future series, all the way from Investor Fuse, bringing data in to say, how many follow-ups does it take on average in their data to close a deal? What types of follow-ups work? The whole shebang. So guys, buckle up for this series. In this particular episode here, we're going to be talking about kind of, you know, what goes into the actual follow-ups once someone becomes a lead. You know, does the type of lead, you know, change the way that we approach our follow-up? We'll kind of walk through that initial touch point. How do we do that? What is the source? Do we do it in, you know, manually? Do we do it in automated? What's tone, voice? We'll share some examples, things like that. And our aim is by the end of this episode for you to have a really good idea of exactly what you should do in that first 24 hours, 7 days, maybe even a month or more. And I'll kind of leave it to these guys to guide that. So I want to introduce Keith Sant back on the CareCast on this episode. For those of you guys who don't know who Keith is, go check out one of the other 35,000 other videos that he's done with Carrot here. But he's been a Carrot customer for a number of years. He currently holds multiple records at Carrot Camp, from the most times at Carrot Camp to the plank champion at Carrot Camp and probably other ones as well. But he does somewhere between 7 and 10 deals a month, the vast majority through evergreen marketing. He's really stacked on lots of other things. Keith, welcome onto the series, man.
Thanks. That was a hell of an introduction, man. I appreciate it. Excited to be here.
Heck yeah. And Keith's company is Kind House Buyers, y'all. So go check out in our other content how Keith has grown to that 7 to 10 deals a month. And he cut his hours from like 60 to 70 hours a week down to less than 20 hours a week by really finding the lower resistance ways to do that. Check out the other episodes. Now we got Mr. Mark Scowron on here, also a Carrot Camp returner. And Mark, we had him on, shoot, probably 3, 4, 5 months ago from the time that we're recording this. We talked about follow-up in there a good bit too, but we wanted to bring you back on to go deeper. So Mark is up in Chicago and doing amazingly, amazingly well up there. Mark, why don't you introduce yourself to those who don't know you or didn't get a chance to check out that first episode?
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. The first one we did was all about follow-up. I'm all about the fortune favors the follow-up, right?
Yep.
From Chicago, I'm actually in Dallas now. The beauty of this business, right? Been living here in Texas for 2 years, but still doing deals in Chicago and North Carolina, primarily for the last 12 years.
Cool. I love it. Yeah. So we're going to dive right in. So I want everyone who's watching this episode, first of all, to get in front of it and get in a spot where you can actually get the work done, take notes, and then move it to action. Because in these series, our intent is not for you to sit back and hang out and just watch it and go, cool, I soaked in some info. We want you guys to go and deploy some of the things that Mark and Keith are going to be talking about this week in your business. So the first thing I want to touch on is, of course, the number one biggest lead source here at Carrot is motivated sellers. But we have a lot of buyers that come in, you know, tenants come in, retail sellers, the whole thing. And I want to kind of toss over to you guys and see, how should people treat those leads potentially differently or maybe not differently at all in follow-up? So do you guys treat follow-up or the strategy with follow-up differently in any way, shape, or form, whether it's buyers, sellers, you know, you name it?
For me, definitely. I don't do a lot of follow-up with buyers. It's like, if you got a good deal, you know, they're hounding you, right? Like, yeah, and as far as tenants too, usually they're ready to go. When they're ready to go, once that thing's gone, it's hard to do a lot of follow-up with tenants. What are your thoughts, Mark?
Yeah, I think so. Like, case in point, so buyers, I don't do any follow-up on either, because I think it's the same thing. You get a good deal, you'll sell it easily. It reminds me of when I had an autoresponder like 4 years ago for, you know, so I had a fragmented list of sellers that had their property listed, right? Because then it would be, you know, I'd hit them once a month. Hey, just want to make sure you're still, you know, did you sell the property? Bah, 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 bah. And I'd get good deals because 6 months down the road, they wouldn't sell. I had to scrap that list, right? Because the last 2 years, everything is selling, right?
Yep.
So case in point, I mean, I think you really, for me at least, on the autoresponder side, it's all about the sellers and building that rapport with the sellers. I think,
so, yeah. No, you're good, man.
Yeah. The buyer part, I think, yeah, once you get to a point where you have enough buyers and or, you know, you can just throw it on the MLS, it's not, I don't want to say it's not as important, but it's just easier, I think, so.
Yep. And it probably depends too on retail versus, you know, you're a cash buyer on the wholesale side too. With that retail buyer, for agents listening, there might be some sort of a series. It's that relationship building series. That's the, you know, making sure that they know who you are and they opt into a certain neighborhood and you can deliver them your content series in that neighborhood or something. But on the investor side, it probably literally is, once you guys get deals locked up, you're distributing that deal to those buyers and then they're going to act on that because that's what they're really looking for. But if you are an agent, guys, I would suggest putting together some sort of a follow-up series depending on where they opt in. So we have an example, you know, here locally, North Umpqua River Homes for sale. So one of our clients, if you opt into that website, for North Umpqua River Homes, they have a series of videos about that topic, and that's probably really good stuff to deliver them over the course of, you know, several weeks. Hey guys, here's a 5-video series on buying a house in the North Umpqua River. And each week you're going to get a new one that walks you through da, 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 da. Something like that could be kind of cool. But on the investor side, the sellers are the key big time. So let's say a seller opts in. We're going to focus more on sellers in this episode here. Let's say a seller walks in. Kind of, what is that initial touch point for you guys? And I want to make sure that people have a good idea of what is automated and what is not. Because some people rely way too much on automated and they just let the automated try to do all the work. And I think some people rely too much on the manual and they don't use automation at all. And so how do you guys use automation, Mark? We'll start with you. I know you use a lot of automation.
Yeah.
What does the initial touch point look like and kind of how do you set that expectation with them? Is it email? Is it text? Is it manual? Is it automated?
That's a great point, I think, because people tend to think, well, it's either one or the other. But like, you know, the robot can't close the deal for you. It can do a lot of rapport building and get you to that point. But someone, whether it's you or your salesperson, has to pick up the phone, right? So for us initially, right, it's totally like, you know, seller calls or we call them. And it's very, you know, warm and inviting. And hey, Mr. Seller, very consultative based, right? You almost want to like, we're putting a doctor hat on. Hey, you walk into the doctor office. Once you build that initial rapport, I think, you know, like for us, the first couple sentences is always, hey, you know, this is Mark, this is Kim with Festival Properties. We're licensed agents. We buy cash as is. We actually bought some near your area. We just sold one off, you know, name a street that, because if we know the area, hey, we just sold one actually off Ascot, or my in-laws, you know what, they live there. Something quick to kind of build rapport that, you know, because they're like, who is this guy off the internet? Yep. And if you say, hey, my in-laws live in your town or in your neighborhood, or I just bought your neighbor's house, then right away, you're kind of like, you know, subconsciously, their objections are like, hey, okay, so this guy actually, he's licensed, he can buy, there's social proof, you know, so that's like two sentences, like literally 10 seconds. And then you throw it on them. Then it shifts to like a 90-10, right? 10% of the time talking, 90% of the time you're listening, wearing that doctor hat on, like, hey, Trevor, I know you inquired on X, Y, and Z. Just curious, what made you inquire? How can I help? And then just shut up and see what they say. That's how we started. So you initially want to always get that info first to see their level of motivation. You know, because if they're ready to pounce, obviously you're ready to pounce, then you want to put a deal together. If they're, hey, I'm just looking to see what it's worth, then it's a little more piecewise. That's where I think having that autoresponder is going to make sense because it's going to sell for you, you know, every contact. So that's kind of how we do it.
I love it, man. And guys, one thing that Mark did there, and I want you guys to kind of key in on this, and we built this into that initial one email autoresponder that comes in for all the leads, is you always want to ask a question in that initial one. There needs to be some sort of a question that is easy for the person to answer, that's low or no resistance. And I think the one that we have, you know, that we've been testing over the years in those email autoresponders, in the sellers, it might be something like, you know, how fast are you looking to sell? Or are you looking to sell this in the next month or so? In anything at all that they could actually give an answer to. Yeah.
Another real good one is, are you the owner?
Dude.
Hey, Trevor, I saw you acquired on 123 Main Street. Just curious, are you the owner? Question mark. Yep. Then they'll kind of tell you, owner, wholesaler, family member, neighbor, jealous neighbor. You never know. So.
Yep. That's really good, guys. So write that one down. That can be an amazing, you know, first email or text message or whatever as you build that rapport. Hey, just curious, are you the owner of the property? That's perfect. And the aim with this, and I'm going to toss it over to you, Keith. The aim with this, guys, you want to get them engaging in a conversation, because once you can start to have a conversation, then you can really start to go in and, like Mark had said, ask questions and really figure out their challenge and see if you can solve their challenge well. Which is huge. So Keith, over to you, man. A lead comes in, seller comes in right now. What happens? What do you have automated? What's manual? And does your approach differ from Mark's, or is it similar? And kind of how do you treat that first initial touch?
Yeah. So, I mean, you always want to get on the call with them. I mean, I have a couple little, I've talked about like the Calendly link where they can sign up for an appointment, but I still want to get a hold of them, talk to them, and you know, find out what their problem is, right? Because at the end of the day, we're problem solvers being real estate investors. Like if they don't have a problem, you know, I want to hook them up with someone or, you know, a good solution for them. So one of the first things I ask is, hey, you know, like most people, they call an agent to sell their house. You know, is there a reason why you called me, like a cash for home kind of company and not an agent? Especially when they start rambling and telling you how nice their house is and they updated it and this and that. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, you know, so... That question right there usually will get out the real reason why. And now you can, okay, now you know you're making some headway and there is a higher probability or a higher chance that they will actually sell, you know.
Dude, so the lead comes in, you immediately get on the phone with them, you start engaging in a manual way at that point. Where for you, Keith, does any automation step in at all for sellers? At what point do you trigger it in Investor Fuse and then it goes out automatically when the lead comes in? Or do you have to then manually trigger something to say, hey, they reach this step after I talked with them and then they'll go into automation? How do you treat automation?
So honestly, the only automation that I really do is after, you know, if a lead comes in and I try to call, text, and they get the auto email. Mm-hmm. If I don't hear, and I'll do that, you know, a couple times a day for 2 days. If I don't hear from them, then I hit the, can't get a hold of them button on Investor Fuse and the sequence goes out and it works. I've had, you know, like one lady was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Keith. You know, I just wasn't 100% sure when I filled out that form, but we're ready now. And yeah, I'd love to book an appointment to come look at the place. Mm.
I remember this is probably a couple of years ago, Alex Pardo, a good friend of mine, he lives in Miami, and we were testing doing some deals with him in that market. It's just a lot harder. Yeah. I was driving traffic for him and taking like a minority cut of the deal. I was only getting 25%. So I couldn't make the numbers work. So, we stopped the PPC in that market. This is a couple of years ago, and it was about a year later. Alex hits me up and Alex is like, hey dude, we closed the deal. I said, what? And we stopped doing the PPC a year ago. He goes, yeah, it was a follow-up, an email that had gone out, that had, you know, tickled that person's interest and they came back and the timing was right. And so like Keith is saying, guys, that first initial 24 hours is really going to be heavily manual. It's get the person on a call, talk to them, show up with an appointment, get them to book an appointment, whatever you have to do to accelerate the process to find out if you can work with them and if you can solve their problem. After that 24 hours, then you've got to really take that, or after you meet with them or talk with them and determine, that's where automation starts to kick in to start to add value, build trust and credibility, and hopefully bring them back in. I'm gonna toss over to you, Keith, on this one here. And this is something you're really, really good at. And I think this really does, it's a big deal when it comes down to success with building trust and relationship with your clients and not. We were talking with someone, it was earlier this week, and we asked them, you know, what was it? It was on our customer advisory board call, actually. Dude, it might've been you, actually, it was you. It was, you had closed another deal lately where you were not the highest offer. And I asked why, and I want to kind of toss it over to you right here. What was it that in that instance helped you win a deal recently when you weren't the highest offer? And I'm going to lead into the voice, tone, and how you treat the client. But what helped you win that deal where you weren't the highest offer?
I mean, I really just try to be a helper. I try to help. He told me he already got an offer, you know, 25 grand more than mine. And I was like, mm-hmm. And he asked if there was any wiggle room on mine. I was like, honestly, I'm kind of at the limit. You know, I want you to get as much as you can though. If there's something, you know, usually I can pay more, but sometimes I can't. And, mm-hmm. you know, but I want you to get as much as you can, you know, to make sure that other people are serious. This is what to look for in a contract, you know, make sure their earnest money is high, make sure, you know, they don't have any contingencies. They'll look like, you know, must have, you know, finance partner approval or any, you know, inspection period. I'm like, this is my inspection. I just did it. Yep. You know, there's not any contingencies, but you know, it's a firm offer, but if you get higher, go for it. I totally get it. Yep. But you know, this is what to look out for. And he called me 2 days later and said, hey, I did get two other offers at 350. Yours is 325, but I just feel so much more comfortable with you. And he took my offer.
Dude, so the key with that, I love it. Now I'm going to connect that to follow-up, because with that one there, you were able to come in there, have good conversation with people. And you could even hear how Keith had said it. And I can completely imagine that's how you said it with the person. Now I want to take the same thing, and now let's go relay that over to the written word, maybe a text message or an email or a voicemail follow-up, or physically picking up the phone and calling the person. And you can take that same tone and put it into an email follow-up three weeks later, a month later, you know, whatever it is. It's the helping tone. Hey, you know, I know we had a chance to chat about a month ago, and just want to see if you still needed to sell a house. I'm still buying in that area, and I hope you can get, you know, I hope I'm able to give you the most, but not always, but love to help you out and look at any other offers you have just to make sure that you're taken care of. Like something like that, you know, but the tone and the voice that we want to have in our follow-up, y'all, is really that helping tone. It's that helping voice. And it's perfect time for Mark. I'm going to ask you that question too, man, on the tone and voice, with your follow-ups. Keith had just walked through an example where, he was able to lock down a deal for about $25,000 less than multiple other investors were offering, because he was showing up with that helping intention, the helping tone, the helping voice, the heart. How do you transfer that over into the written word with follow-up?
So tonality is huge. I think another part too, that was great, Keith, is, you know, so when you do the intro, hey, just wanted to help, blah, 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 blah. And then when you ask a question, you're always like, hey, just curious, what did you need out of this property? Almost like a, you know, like a really, you really change the tonality there. So a couple of things. On the email, you can create a video. So what I would do is, you know, let's say you have a really good call, but they don't want to convert just yet. So what I do is, you know, we put them into, I use ActiveCampaign. You put them into an email autoresponder. It could be, you know, get AWeber, get response, et cetera. And then actually create a video, like another intro video, you know, so subject, hey, per our conversation, important read. And then and then be very personal. I always try to, like, you'd be surprised, but like pugs, people connect with dogs so much. And it's just, you're kind of looking to latch on something to connect with other than just the real estate right away, you know? So it's like, hey, me and the pugs are just chilling. Take a look at Sophie and Mia. And then it's a picture of them. I got to go get some pet food later, but you know what? I got 2 hours. I wanted to send you a quick video. Check it out real quick. This is regards to our conversation that we just had, you know, And then it'll be just like a 1 minute quick video intro. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Just wanted to reiterate what you told me. So you give them, you know, you give the seller some validation. I heard X, Y, and Z, you know, you want to sell in this amount of time. You want this price. You're just waiting on, you know, your in-laws, blah, 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 blah. And then this is how I can help. Here's what I've done. Here's the deals I've done. Here's the deals I've done in your neighborhood, in your city, mm-hmm. you know, so give them some social proof. And then I always look at it like hot potato then, right? So you do all that and then you're like, all right, let me throw it back on you. Hot potato, you know? And then in PS put, and by the way, please check out all of our reviews, you know, so reviews, I think is something, whether it's video, testimonials, email, I mean, all that stuff. You want to keep getting those. And then just put a link to that, right? Hey, you know, if you're still unsure, take a look at my reviews. I've been doing this 15 years. So that's,
Dude, I love it, man. Guys, I want you guys to write those down. Okay. So we went all the way from how Keith did that in the personal interaction with the client to really build trust. And it's not in a manipulative way. It's literally the way that he shows up for a business. Like that is Keith. And I think that's the key here, y'all, is with your follow-up, with your business, nothing, none of this is with the intent to pull the wool over anyone's eyes, to trick anyone to anything, to manipulate. It's literally to show your humanity through the way you show up in your follow-up and the way that you show up and do your business. How do we show the humanity? Connect with people at a deeper level, solve their problems better than anyone else can, but do it in a way while you're building that trust where you're the likely source that they want to work with, which is key. And what Mark did there is so great because humanity, you would see the dog of a person that you want to hang out with or talk with. And normal business doesn't do that. Normal business, it's so like, hey, are you the owner of 1234 Oak? You submitted on our website. Are you still looking to sell? I'd love to talk with you. That's so businessy, right? But if you get an email from Mark that shows his pugs and he's going to go get the pet food later and PS, you know, link to my reviews and you go check it out. It's like, I don't know, this guy just seems like a good dude. Yeah, I'm going to go talk with him. Yeah. Keith, do you any, you've got a dog now, man. You need to put your dog in your follow-ups, dude.
Right. Oh, I do now because Mark helped me out.
There we go.
Hey, let me tell you, dogs and in-laws, people connect with, I don't know what it is, but just all of a sudden the funny, the good, the bad, dogs and in-laws, everyone connects with, so.
Write that down.
I love it. So let's talk about cadence a little bit. So we've talked tone, we've kind of talked what you do in that first 24 hours. We've talked a little bit about, you know, where automation comes in and where it doesn't, and how to work that tone into your emails and or text messages too. I could see people doing the same thing in a text message or automated text message that links up that thing in their page that, you know, has a picture in there if you're using a tool that can send pictures through or manually that shows you with the dog. And I know people too, guys, if you don't want to have a fancy CRM, I know people that literally they're whiteboard and they do tons of deals. Brian Rockwell showed up to his first carrot camp and people are like, how did you do $600,000 your first year wholesaling in Dallas? And he's what CRM did you use? Like, it's this. It's like my whiteboard. And that was it. And I could totally see someone taking their cell phone and going, okay, cool. There's lead number five down here and I've got my weekly follow-up checklist and he just pulled up and I'm going to do my selfie. I'm out here on the street. Hey, Mike, just want to shoot you a quick text or shoot you a quick voice note or a quick video. I want to see how you guys are doing. If anyone's been able to solve your problem yet, little things like that. It's bringing that connection in. So let's talk cadence. Let's now say it's past that first 24 hours. A deal didn't happen at that point. Okay. It's didn't happen. Maybe they didn't even answer your calls and they're going into a follow-up where you did, but it didn't work. What is the cadence that you guys would suggest that people put people into? And what is the mix for you guys between a text, RVM, an email, or kind of, you know, what do you guys use? Cadence and media.
So for me, I do a lot of text messages. I don't know. I think it works really good in this market in Texas. There are a lot more phone calls. I just find less people answer the calls here, but they respond to a text when they have time. And so I do a lot of text messages. As far as cadence, it really depends. Like if you talk to someone and they say, hey, call me back in a week or call me back in 2 weeks, you know, I'll decide in a month or so. I usually take that time and just cut it in half. If they say, call me in a week, 2 days, 3 days, I'm calling them. If they say, you know, there's been so many times where in the beginning where it's like, oh, you know, call me back in a month, I call them in a month and the house is sold. Yep. So, you know, you learn your lessons. And then also, you know, I do a lot of manual texting and a lot of, but they're like pretty personalized. And and I almost never say, hey, you know, I usually do not even mention the house in the first message. It's usually, you know, there's holidays in almost every month. You know, hey, happy 4th of July. Hope you and your family are doing well. You know, that's basically it. And then when they respond back, and then I open up a door of communication. If you ask about the house and they're not ready to talk about the house, they usually will ignore you. And then and then after three of those, now they feel guilty for ignoring you and it just gets worse. And then they, and then even if they want to answer, they, you know, feel bad. Anyways, I don't know. That's just how I feel. But
dude, that's such a good point, right? Because I know Bo has said this before, that oftentimes when people get into really, really challenging situations with their house, not every time, but oftentimes it's because they didn't make a quality decision at some point, right? And what Bo Hollis has said is if someone didn't make a quality decision, they likely have delayed making decisions. And with this one there, if they know that they should have made a decision and they're just analysis paralysis and they can't make a decision for one reason or another, they're not going to answer your message back if it's related to the house, right? But if it's not, like Keith is saying, and it's literally just to reach out and say hi, or it's sending them a picture, like Mark had said, and just say, hey, I was just getting ready to head out and I've got my dog here, Daisy, and just want to see how you're doing in the sunny, you know, Chicago day or Texas day. Just even that, just to get a reply. If someone doesn't reply to that, you know, I think they probably would, because the whiskers aren't there, right? The cat whiskers. If you're a mouse out there looking for cheese, the thing that's going to scare you away from that cheese is the whiskers. And when you're talking about the house, that's the whiskers. The cheese is just, hey, I'm here and just seeing how you're doing, which is great. Mark, I know you're really, really good with the automated follow-up side of things. And we talked about this a good little bit in the original session with you as well. What does that cadence look like for you? So when does the first email go out or text message go out after you determined that, hey, I didn't get a deal yet? When does the first one go out and what might that cadence look like? How often might something go out?
So let's say seller goes into the funnel, not ready to transact. So right away, no matter what, we always put them into the email autoresponder, and that video will come right away, that intro email with the intro video. And then Keith is right. Everything you said is just spot on. As far as like text, you'll still get the best response from text, I think, versus anything else right now. Same thing. Literally like what he said about that, there's not much to add other than like, you know, out of your initial call, the seller said, you know, I really, you know, I'm looking to do my roof before I sell or something. So then instead of talking about the property, you know, I would be like, you know, happy 4th of July. Hey, you know, I've used this roofer before. He's really good. Give him a call if you need to. Just throw some resources their way, you know? So we'll do that initially. As far as the email, it's usually like we've got separate lists. Like there's the probate and inherited will do a separate list, because that you can really... you can get granular with the pain points, you know? So I do a separate list for like general sellers, and then we get rid of the listed one, but we'll do an inherited home probate one. And that will hit once a week, and that we kind of just like leverage pain point. So it's like, you know, the subject line, Trevor, are you still paying two mortgages and two insurance? ? You know, and then you're kind of like, hey man, isn't it a pain in the butt to pay, you know, having one house and one kids, a pair of kids is enough. And then you got to pay another property tax, another maintenance on another house, blah, 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 blah. So on those, we'll do once a week. And then, so I've tried a lot of, you know, I've tried the whole email them once a day. And I think, you know, a lot of those kind of bounce off. You'll still get deals that way. So I still do, like on the general list, the intro. And then once a week, because I definitely want to, and the message is good. Here's the other thing I'll add. When I was messing it up, sending like, you know, an email every day, every other day, it was very robotic, blah, blah, ready to buy your house, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But then when I changed it to like a never ending story, if that makes sense, then the engagement is much better. So even if they're not ready to buy, they're like, man, you know, like I'll talk about everything's sequential, right? So the first one will come day one, and then day three will be like, the first paragraph is nothing even to do about the house, right? It's like, hey man, in-laws are coming. Here's what's going on. Oh my God, it's crazy, but it's fun over here. We've got taco night. Here's what I did. And here's the recipe. Yep. Hope it turns out well. Real quick, right? And then real quick, just curious, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, how motivated are you to sell, you know, within the next 30 days? Just so I know, no rush, right? And then just the engagement, you know, so literally say like, please reply with a one, you know, for right away, or a two or whatever. And then you're just going for a response just to get them to engage. It could be anything, you know, you just want them to raise their hand. And then, so what I noticed with, if you're telling a story, right. And then the next email 2 days later, hey, in-laws are here. It's fun. I got limited time. But I do have, you know, I do have funding for one more deal. Here's what happened, blah, 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 blah. If you are ready, just let me know, because, you know, for me, it's a timing issue, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then, so then you continue the story, right? And then, so I think you, if you do a story, you can really get away with every 3 days email, like a good, good flowing story. If not, you know, once a week, once every 2 weeks. I think the first 30 days, you definitely want to do once a week, and then you can kind of do every 2 weeks.
Cool. That's so good, man. And guys, the big takeaway I want you guys to get from this too is like Mark said, this isn't like just delivering a pitch every day or every email. It's adding value. It's telling a story. It's connecting. And that's where I'd like to see marketing in the industry move towards in general, right? Because that's the way that we stand out, is by standing out from the others. Everyone else is out there, you know, showing the whiskers, and they're scaring away the prospects because, you know, what do people call it? A sales breath or something like that. You can do the same thing in emails or in a text message. And what both Keith and Mark are doing so well, which is why we wanted to bring them on, is they're building relationship. They're building trust. They're connecting with people through the written word, whether it's text or email, and through the spoken word as well. And we walked through a few things. I'm going to run through this really quick. So we walked through, you know, how follow-up might differ a little bit between lead types in some respects. We walked through kind of what does that initial 24 hours look like, that initial touch point. And it's going to be heavily manual, really connecting with the person. Then after you decide that they're not going to be a deal right away, then they can go into follow-up. And it could be a mix of manual follow-up and automated follow-up, like Mark said. Possibly some of the manual is text and automate, you know, all or most of the email as well, for sure. We kind of walked through some really good examples. Really fun here. And Mark is amazing at copywriting. And that's one of those things, like, it's so fun to hear that just be riffed off. And man, I love it. That skill set that you've got is amazing. Cadence weekly for the sellers for that first month. After that, you can go every other week or so. And then you automate those. And then really the closer to the lead coming in is probably when it's less automated. The further away from the lead coming in is the more automated it gets. Last question I've got for you guys. Do you guys ever do anything with those leads that, let's say, came in 3 months ago or 6 months ago? Do you guys ever run any campaigns, like one-time campaigns, to those unconverted leads? Or do you let that long-term follow-up do all that work?
Ooh, let me go here. I got a great one for this list.
Cool.
RVM works really well. I know people do that, so you can totally do that. For me, what I find out that works out really well, people, I think, reply to fear of loss or a loss more than like an expectation of a gain. So other than like the best performing email is like, my CPA has to buy or says I have to buy a house today. Can you help? Mm. Everyone raises their hand. But the best one, you know, so in this situation, no contact for 3 months, literally subject line, I guess you don't want to sell your house, ? Mm. And then, you know, same thing in the message, say, hey, I've been trying to get a hold of you for 3 months. It looks like you don't want to sell your house. And just a real simple 2-3 line message. People reply to that like gangbusters, you know?
Mm, I love it. That's awesome. I love it. Love it. Well, guys, I don't have any further questions on the follow-up side. I'm sure people who are watching this, you might have some further questions on the exact nuances of what might be said in an email, or you know, some of the data behind it. So in one of the other videos in the series, we're going to break down the data behind the follow-ups on exactly when do the deals close on average at a higher rate after X amount of follow-ups, what types of follow-ups lead into that closed deal through the Investor Fuse data. And we have some free resources that we want you guys to go to, carrot.com/follow. That's carrot.com/follow, where we're going to be having all of the resources from this entire follow-up sequence, where you guys can go get scripts, you can get templates, you can get everything that you need to really get your follow-up in a better spot right away. So guys, carrot.com/follow, and check out the free resources over there from Mark, from Keith, and from the others in this series as well. Mark and Keith, as we kind of part ways on this series, this episode today, do you guys have any final words on follow-up for people as they're watching this and they're wanting to tighten up that follow-up and make it a better asset in their business?
I mean, I would say, you know, create a sequence at least for a year. Be very personable, but just have fun with it too. Like, just have fun with it. Just be who you are and throw out as many ways to connect outside of the real estate as you can, you know, with your client, with your seller.
Yep. Cool. I love it. Keith.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm just all about being helpful. Like Mark was saying, like, hey, I'll give you a, you know, a roofer, you know. Anyways, yeah, just I'll throw out agents if they feel like that, you know, just anything to be helpful to say, I don't need to buy your house. Like, hey, I'm here to buy houses. That's what I do. But really, I'm just here to help you. So whatever road that goes down, you know, I'll be happy either way. So,
dude, that right there is such an amazing spot to end it on. And that's, once again, guys, that's what we want to drive here at Carrot, is that type of business, that type of investor, that type of agent, is someone who's truly out there serving the client, but also doing it in a way that honestly elevates the industry. And there's been so many studies that have been done over the years that show like the least trusted industries in the United States. And attorneys are up there and doctors are up there somewhere. And always in the top five, it says real estate. And you know, is that investors, is it agents? Probably a mix of both, but probably mainly on the retail side, because that's what most people know. But at the end of the day, guys, it's because people go out there to try to make sales rather than to try to build relationship and add value. And if you guys start to use your follow-up in that way as well to build relationship and build value versus showing that commission breath or showing the whiskers and just truly wanting to serve with that person and create and connect, you're going to start to elevate the reputation of the industry as well. So Mark, Keith, appreciate you guys hopping on here today and sharing your wealth of knowledge. Guys, go to carrot.com/follow to get all the free resources, the scripts, some templates for follow-up, the whole rest of the series and everything. carrot.com/follow. Thank you guys for hopping on with us today.
Thanks man.
Appreciate it.
Sure.